ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
Morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 43, Text 23.
Eto Bhagavata Shaksha
Dari
Narayanasya
Hi
Avatirna Vihamsena Vasudevasya Vesmani Eto Bhagavata Shakshat Dare Narayanasya Hi Avatirna Vihamsena Vasudevasya Vesmani Eto Bhagavata Shakshat Dare Narayanasya Hi Avati Navihamsena Vasudevasya Vesmani
Eto. These two Bhagavata of the Supreme Lord Shakshat directly Hare of Lord Hari Narayanasya Narayana. He certainly Avatino have descended Iha to this world Amsena as expansions Vasudevasya of Vasudeva Veshmani in the home. Translation, the people said, these two boys are certainly expansions of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudeva. Translation, this one, Krishna, took birth from Mother Devaki and was brought to Gokul, where he has remained concealed all this time, growing up in the house of King Danda. He made Putana and the whirlwind demon meet with death, pulled down the twin Arjuna trees and killed Sankachuda, Keshi, Denuka and similar demons. Translation, he saved the cows and the cowherds from a forest fire and subdued the serpent Kaliya. He removed Lord Indra's false pride by holding up the best of mountains with one hand for an entire week, thus protecting the inhabitants of Gokula from rain, wind and hail. The gopis overcame all kinds of distress and experienced great happiness by seeing his face, which is always cheerful with smiling glances and ever free of fatigue. It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty will become extremely famous and attain wealth, glory and power. Translation, this lotus-eyed elder brother of his, Lord Balaram, is the proprietor of all transcendent opulences. He has killed Pralamba, Vatsaka, Baka and other demons. Purport. In fact, two of the demons mentioned here were killed by Krishna, not Balaram. The reason for the mistake is that as news of Krishna's exploits spread among ordinary people, facts become somewhat muddled. The same tendency can be observed in modern newspapers. Eto Bhagavata Shakshat Dare Narayanasya Hi Avartina Yamsena Vasudevasya Veshmani. The people said, these two boys are certainly expansions of the Supreme Lord Narayana, who have descended to this world in the home of Vasudeva. So we're continuing to read. People are very much appreciating. They had heard stories and they had high expectations of seeing Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. And when they saw Lord Krishna and Balaram there, their expectations were not disappointed. In fact, they were heightened even further. And we were talking about this yesterday. Sometimes we read about people, hear about them, see pictures of them, but when we meet them, either immediately or after some time, our idea of that person is diminished. Our expectation is disappointed. But this is the case in the material world, because all of us are conditioned souls who have, now we've got a particular type of body that is full of imperfections, defects, and mentioned four basic defects. Who knows what is one defect that the conditioned soul has? Huh? Cheating. Cheated, and so cheated. Now, you know, if you've got an expectation or an idea of someone, and then when you meet that person, and then he or she is a cheater, you're going to be very disappointed with that person. Everyone cheats in the material world. That's a fault, a defect. As is a defect of the conditioned soul, cheating, either putting yourself forward as something you are not really, or directly, you know, cheating someone, you know, in a financial way, or in some other way. You get cheated. Prophet always used to say, "This is, we live in a society of the cheaters and the cheated." Someone cheats us. And then, you know, to make up the lost ground, we have to cheat someone else. This is just we can go and talk about this for so long. I was just with the God brother, and he's thinking of renovating his bathroom. So he got a few people to come and give quotes. One was 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, like the different quotes. So he said that it's amazing how much money it costs for these things. He said when you look at it and calculate it all out, the actual materials, you know, he was a little experienced in the area himself. He said the materials, I know how much the materials cost, and even the labour, because I've done this sort of work. Because, you know, this time I thought I'd get someone in, but I've done this sort of work, and it doesn't add up to that amount of money. he said it's far from it, nowhere near it. He would say that actually, even for costs and labour, it would be half or less. So what's going on here? Is that actually the people don't charge how much it costs these days, or how much their time they take. They just charge what they need to exist in the world. That's what they charge. That's the basis of how they charge. Because it costs me so much to live, and everyone else is charging me, and this and that and the other, and, you know, I'm getting cheated from this one, the work I'm doing, I need to get this and this and this, and, you know, I have to pay this, so therefore I've got to turn around and do it to the next guy, right, to recoup my costs. So therefore Prabhupada says, the society of the cheaters and the cheated. We get cheated, then we have to turn around and cheat someone else, and it goes on and on and on. What is the effect? So he said it's an amazing thing, and it's got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You can't, it's hard to get an honest day's labour out of someone, an honest quote for the actual materials. This is just an example I'm giving you. It's hard to get that sort of situation. In Kali Yuga, someone who's honest, you can just imagine if there was a crowd of people. Hands up, all those who are truthful all the time. You know, this is the Kali Yuga. And the truthfulness is practically gone. And therefore, the cheating. So this is one defect. So, you know, you have an expectation of someone. You've read about them, and then they come, and then they're cheaters. But we live in a society like that. And they become worse and worse. Kali Yuga, not me, they become worse and worse and worse. Cost so much to live, and because everyone's cheating. Basically, what's going on, directly, indirectly, and then it goes up and up and up and up and up and up, and then no one can afford to live. And then in the Bhagavatam, it says in the by the as Kali Yuga goes on, people will just, they can't, either you've got to just work like anything and try to make a lot of money by cheating, or you've just got to, you know, run away to the forest or something, live in a tree. Because either, you know, this is a conformist consumer, conformist society we're living in. Consume, consume, the advertising there, consume, consume this, consume, and you, and to be able to do that, you've got to conform to our set of rules. Either you've got to be in there, working just like everybody else, and that's why sometimes we get so many criticisms against Hare Krishna. You know, they become annoyed, you know, you Hare Krishna chanting and dancing in the streets or something like that, and they, you know, or distributing books or something. They'd often say, hey, why don't you get a job like the rest of us? What are you doing out here singing and dancing? Get a job like everyone else. We always say we've got a job. Our job is singing and dancing and selling these books. And it's a blissful. We don't have to get in the rat race like everybody else. Right? They say the rat race. Everyone, you know, that's a very good term actually, isn't it? All like little rats kind of squeaking their way to work every morning, right? And they run to the city. And then Prabhupada commented, you know, when he was walking in the botanical gardens, he saw the traffic whooshing in, and he said, oh, they are working so hard from early in the morning, 5:30, whooshing into the town. And it's so difficult now, everyone parks their car, he made a comment, everyone's parking their car out because, you know, it costs so much to park it in. It's a very funny thing. He said that people have got these big cars, and you know, and then, but they can't afford to park them in the city. Big men in big suits and everything like that, and briefcases, and park them outside, and then they walk in. They don't have to pay. It's a funny society, he said. It's a funny society. Well, what did he say? Then he gave an example of a. I forget now. Something about riding in a palanquin to pass urine and stool or something like that. Something like that. Something riding, you get carried in the palanquin. What is it?
In Bengali form, when you the horse, no, a beggar is a grasshopper because he has no money to afford, but when he goes to pass through.
He rides in the palanquin. Yeah. Is that the one? Yeah. I think that's the one he told like that. So this is the society, a defect. So everyone's got this thing. What is another defect?
Avoid the illusion.
Huh?
Can't hear.
Subject to illusion.
Subject to illusion. So, well, we need to speak about this. Subject to illusion. I am this and this and this and this of the world. And, therefore I need to do this and this and this. Because I think I am this, therefore I need to do like that. And this is one big illusion. And everyone's in the same illusion. Everyone's in this maya. In illusion. Thinking in that way. Everyone has that. So, you know, if people are in illusion, they've got ideas about themselves, ideas of how they need to be acting. We often mold ourselves on how others see us, even, you know, we react to how others want us to be, perhaps, you know, others want us to be innocent, so therefore we feel we have to be like that and be like the other thing. We become very confused in life. We don't know our identity, isn't it? The basic thing, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was saying the other morning, he said after the Sunday feast lecture, one lady said, oh, you know, you're interested, you talk about self-realization. That's a big topic. Self-realization. You know, what a world. You know, they don't even know who they are. They're so interested in self-realization as if it's a, you know, but Prabhupada used to say, at least in India, still, they have some idea, although now in India people are becoming more and more materialistic, but still, even the farmer knows the basic thing. Who he is the spirit soul. But you know, in the Western countries with their big civilization and so much advancement in so many ways, Still, they're confused and they're wondering about the self. Self-realization, who the self is. Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? This is a very confusing subject matter. But it just reflects the illusion, the situation of people in the world. So everyone is in this world. And what is another defect? Mistakes. No, all the time making mistake. No one can say I never make mistakes. Although some people, being very proud, never admit they make mistakes. Never wrong. Someone, you may know someone like that, or you, heaven forbid, you may be like that. Never wrong. You're never wrong. Everyone else is wrong, but you're never wrong. So that is the problem. And society is becoming more and more like that, although there's so many mistakes. But people want some sort of situation where there's never going to be any mistakes. And they try to cover the whole thing in some way. Okay, this went wrong, so therefore we'll make this law to make sure this never happens again. We'll make this arrangement so this never happens again. People want to be freed from mistakes. But the world is full of mistakes. You're making mistakes, the others are making mistakes. The whole situation is full of mistakes. But they want, you know, therefore you have such a litigation going on. Sue me, sue you. Society, isn't it? More and more and more. Why? Because, you know, well, you made a mistake, therefore you're accountable and you're responsible, and therefore you have to pay for that mistake. As if to say that there shouldn't be any mistakes. There should be no mistakes made. And the whole world is full of mistakes. So, someone's always making mistakes, is another defect. And what's another defect? Imperfect senses, yeah. We've got a body that we're very attached to, and we're an illusion thinking that this is who we are. I am this body. I am this woman. I am this man. I am this girl. I am this boy. I look at the mirror, and that's who I am. I've got these eyes. We're very attached to these eyes, this nose, these ears, this hair. Although, with devotees, we take off the hair. But we're very attached to these things, these eyes. But what are we attached to? Yasatma buddhi kunapetu dharke spadi kalatharish bumi yatetu buddhi salamitakaji janishmuru se sevagokara. Like the cow and the ass, we're so attached to these things. These eyes. So he's got very nice eyes. He's got a very nice nose. What is this? Eyes and nose. If I were to take out your eyes and throw them on the ground, would you be very attracted to them? Huh? Oh, nice eyes, let me pick them up. But you know, we'll think like, oh, he's got nice eyes, and she's got nice eyes, she's got a nice face, nice hands. But what are these things? But imperfect, and even if we're attracted, they're imperfect. The eyes go. No, you have to start wearing glasses. Sometimes you have to keep many glasses. Or you can have what I've got, trifocal. Far, medium, near. Because they go in every way, they go. They go just short, they go far, they go medium, they go all over. All of a sudden, you know, as you get older, some of the younger ones you'll see. You know, most people at a certain, they say around 42, 43, and all of a sudden the eyes go, muscles stiffen up or something. So, you'll see. Eyes go, and the hearing. What is that verse where Vidura is chastising Dhritarashtra, Danta, what is it? He says, you are living at home like a beggar, being fed the bones by Bhimsena. This is after Kurukshetra. He said, but look at you. Vidura is chastising his elder brother after he came back from pilgrimage. He's chastising him. He's chastising. Look at you. You're in a pathetic position. Already you're old. You're blind already from birth. Your hearing, you're becoming hard of hearing. Can't hear anything. You know when you're losing your hearing, when every time someone says something, you go, eh? Sure sign. Hey, what was that? So he said like that about his brother. He said, look at you. Lost, blind from birth. You become hard of hearing now. You can't hardly hear anymore. He said, you're coughing up mucus all the time. Liver is defective. Kidneys are not working properly. He said, losing your hair. Still you're living here, he said. Still you're living here like a dog. He was very strong with his brother because he wanted to get him out of that situation. He said, you're living here like a dog, being fed the scraps by, especially, he said, Bhimsen, just to, because Bhimsen killed his, he was the one who killed the sons, primarily killed the sons of Dhritarashtra. So that was like a thunderbolt to Dhritarashtra when Vidura spoke in that way, and he actually shocked him into, yes, I'm here living, look at my life in my old age. And he left home and he went to the forest. But that's the situation with all of us, imperfect senses. They cannot last forever. Just like you buy something from the shop, it says it's got use-by date. You got to drink this milk before such and such date, otherwise it will go off. So our body is like that. You've got to use it by a certain time, other than it starts to go off. Use it by a certain time. Now, the problem is, the materialists, they're going to use it, but all in the wrong way, and therefore the lifespan decreases more. So usually got to, let's say you buy something from the shop, it's got to use by date. But if you leave it open or you misuse it, it's going to go off earlier. Right? It'll last that long. If you keep it in the fridge or whatever, right? So the body is the same. It's got a, you know, when we're born, we've got a certain amount of life. We're going to die at a certain point, right? We've got a certain amount of breaths. Our life is governed by how many breaths we have. Prabhupada said that one time here. He said, these runners, he saw the runners running in the morning. They were running. He said, they are thinking they are increasing their longevity. But they are decreasing. Because they're using up their breaths more. They may be healthy in the meantime. But they're using, he said, the yogis, they do the opposite. They slow their breathing down. You see? Just like when you do the yoga. You're breathing in. Slowly. Of course, sometimes you're told to breathe fast, but generally it's breathing slowly, deep breaths. This is good for you. Good for you. But not only that, but it's slowing your breath. Because you have a certain amount of breaths. And that's it. And you're destined to, the body will be finished by that time. And in the meantime, you have to look after it as best as possible. But if you abuse it and so on and so forth, then maybe you'll live for a certain time, but in the meantime you'll suffer. So all these defects are there for the conditioned souls. But for Krishna, he has no defects. He has not got imperfect senses. He is not in illusion. He doesn't cheat. What was the other one? Mistakes. He never makes a mistake. This is Krishna. So how can anyone's expectation of Krishna be diminished? It cannot be diminished. In fact, it's enhanced more. Now, it is said that Krishna wears all... There is a description of Krishna and Balaram coming and beautifully decorated with ornaments and dress and everything. Some jewels. He has a Sri Vatsa and that pearl? Kastuba. Kastuba gem, very beautiful, all sorts of rings and all of that. These things are very beautiful. But now, when Krishna wears these things are beautiful, but Krishna himself is so beautiful that He makes those things look dull. Can you imagine that? Everyone else has to dress themselves up. You know, our bodies or whatever, we put our, you know, we put the jewelry on or put the nice clothes on, and then, you know, we make put the makeup or we do whatever, do the hair, and then we can look better. By the jewels, by the ornaments, by the clothes, we look better. But Krishna is the other one. He makes those things look good. Sometimes you have a situation where someone's so handsome or beautiful, they say like that, oh, they make the clothes look good. Right? That's very rare, someone's that handsome or that beautiful. But Krishna's, he's always like that. And not only that, it's mentioned here, that he's got such a beautiful smiling face, and he doesn't have any fatigue, although when he walked into the arena he had perspiration, as if he was fatigued, but actually he's not fatigued. Do you think you can tire out the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who was that fighting with the... was it Jambavan? Was it the story of the Shama Takalyu? Who was it? Prasena, the brother of Satrajit, went out with the Shama Taka jewel. Oh, Satrajit was presented this jewel, wasn't it? From the sun god or something like that. He gave him this jewel. The jewel could produce so much gold. And wherever it was, all the fatigue and famine would diminish. Was it the story? And then he put it on an altar, actually, and started worshipping this jewel. And one time his brother, right? Prasena, he took the jewel and put it around his neck and went off riding, showing off the jewel. Sometimes we're like that. Get the jewel, you know, a nice diamond ring or something. Necklace. So he went out like that. And what happened? Some lion came. Sorry. He was riding and some lion came and attacked him, killed him. But then who was it? Jambavan came and killed the lion and took the jewel. And then just gave to his daughter or something. Yes. Jambavati.
Huh?
Yeah, to the
baby son.
What? Baby son. The baby son. Well, not Jambavati.
Not Jambavati. Later.
So he gave the jewel. And then Krishna went in. He was accused of killing Prasena, something like that. And then he went into the cave. And then the nurse who was looking after the baby, she cried out, oh, someone has come. And then Jambavan came there and was fighting with Krishna. How long did it go on for?
28 days.
Huh? 28 days. Was it? 28 days of fighting. Non-stop. Day and night. 28 days. Now, Jambavan, yes. Gorilla, right? The bear. Like the gorilla or the bear or something, description of Jambavan is strong. He's from the time of Lord Ram. He's like Chiranjeevi, eternal, liberated. So he's fighting so strong. So he fought, and they fought 28 days. And Jambavan couldn't, who is this? He was thinking, who is this? He should defeat anyone. And he's so strong, he kept fighting for 28 days. But his strength was getting less and getting tired. And Krishna was getting stronger and stronger. Who is this? He couldn't, it was dark or something, I don't know. He couldn't recognize who he was. And then he realized, this must be my Lord. Ram come again. So the Lord, who can fatigue, who can tire the Supreme Personality? He never gets tired. Although sometimes it appears, just like when he killed Kuvalaya Pita, he came, he had the perspiration, but the perspiration, that enhanced his beauty, made him look good. So this is the position of Krishna. There's no defect in Krishna, no defect in Lord Balaram. And here we read that the people of Mathura, they were talking about Krishna, and they had a realization of Krishna's position. They had a realization. He must be, look at Krishna and Balaram. They must be expansions of the Supreme Lord Narayan. It's interesting because we read that in Vrindavan Leela and also Mathura Leela, they're engaging with Krishna and they're just accepting him as one of them. But at the next moment, they're understanding him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is actually mentioned by the Acharyas that Krishna, he lifts the yoga maya and puts the yoga maya. Lifts the yoga maya as opposed to mahamaya. Mahamaya means the material illusion. But the yoga maya is a type of spiritual illusion. It's not material, it's spiritual. And God puts us in like that so we can relate to him in an ordinary way. Otherwise we would just be always in awe. And that would impede our relationship. If you're always in awe of someone, you know, just like someone very great comes, you know, sometimes you speak, you can't talk. You can't say anything, you're just totally mesmerized by that. So God wants to be able to have a relationship. So he covers the living entity with a type of illusion, a spiritual illusion, not like a material illusion. So they forget his position. They don't think of him as God, they just think of him as one of them. And so they can relate, they can talk, they can freely with God. This is a reciprocation. But then again, sometimes he lifts it, just like we see here, that the people of Mathura, they were thinking, look at them. They're discussing amongst themselves. Krishna and Balaram, Krishna has killed all these great asuras who were so powerful. And he names. They name some of them. They took their birth from, Krishna took his birth from Devaki and Vasudev. He grew up in Gokula. He remained concealed, growing up in the house of King. Now, how do they know all these things? Must say Krishna lifted his yoga maya and they were able to understand. He killed the Puttana. He killed the whirlwind demon. Who was the whirlwind demon? Huh? Anyone else want to say? What do you say? Huh? Trinavarta. Trinavarta. What was the story of Trinavarta? Who can say? Well, you named him. You don't know the story? What is the story? The whirlwind. And what happened? He came to Golok. He came to Gokul and he came in the room. Created a dust storm. So no one could see anything. Yeah, and took baby Krishna. Took him up high, right? In the air. And what was his idea? To kill him. Kill the baby. And what happened?
He
became very, very heavy. He couldn't hold him and he crashed down on the ground. And he was killed. Instead of killing Krishna, he was killed. And then Puttana. Who was Puttana? Nurse. She disguised herself, not as a nurse, but she became a nurse later. But she disguised herself. She was a witch, catcher. Witch. Now, Jarasandha, Kamsa had conquered all these demons. You know there's a story of Puttana. She was previously a Bali Maharaj's sister. And when Lord Vamanadeva came, she was very affectionate to him, like a mother. Oh, look at this brahmachari, let us give up the donation. But when Lord Vamana took everything, and she became angry, wanted to kill him. Lord Vamana, you want to kill me? But I know you were like a mother in the beginning. So I'll let you do both. So in the next birth she came and she picked up baby Krishna as a mother. Krishna let her do that, like a mother. Came disguised as a very beautiful woman and just walked in. You know, just walked into the room. Mother Jasora was there. He didn't think anything of it. Oh, here's a very cultured lady, a very beautiful cultured lady. She must be some demigod or something. But just let her walk. Picked up the baby, of course. She had her breast smeared with poison. She wanted to kill the baby. But what happened? Krishna grabbed hold of her breast and began to suck and he wouldn't let go. And tighter and tighter and tighter.
And she said, oh, leave me, try to push him away.
And then she went up high in the sky, assumed her normal form, grotesque form. And then all of a sudden she crashed down. So instead of being killing Krishna, she was killed. Because all these demons attain liberation. And so these are some of the demons that is mentioned by them. And also the twin Arjuna trees. Who were the twin Arjuna trees?
Manigriva.
Formerly? Manigriva and Nalakova. Who were Manigriva and Nalakova?
Sons of Kuber.
What happened? What happened? They were sons of Kuvera. They were intoxicated, dancing with many young girls, naked in the river. Narad Muni came. I think we were talking about this the other day. And he cursed them to be trees. But in trees in the courtyard of Krishna. Nandamaj. And then Krishna came there. He was tied to the wooden grinding mortar, wasn't it? And he pulled that in between the two trees, and they pulled those trees down, and then they came to their original forms. And he killed Shankachuda. Anyone remember Shankachuda? What was his pastime of Shankachuda? He came after the Rasa dance, actually, this Shankachuda. He came after the Rasa dance and came there and tried to steal off the gopis. Steal off the gopis. Separated some of the gopis off and took them. And they were crying, Krishna, Krishna, help us. Lord Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram went running after him. Is it?
Yeah,
the big jewel in his head. Krishna came along, kaboom, it was all over. Shankachuda, Keshi demon. Who is the Keshi demon? Come on, you don't need to read your Krishna book?
The horse demon.
Here's the demon name. Now, these asuras had great powers. They weren't horses or anything, but they changed their form to be the horse. And he came in, Keshi. And he was a winnowing and up there. And what happened to Keshi? He tried to kill Krishna. What happened to Keshi? How did Krishna kill Keshi? Put his fist right there in his mouth, right? It felt like a hot iron or something, right? I seem to remember. But he was dead, no? Keshi Danuka. Who is Danuka? The ass demon. Very colourful kind of characters, weren't they? One was a horse, one was an ass. He got thrown up into the trees or something like that. They were in a forest, right? The Tal forest. Danuka and his friends were in the Tal forest, and no one in the beautiful Tal fruits and everything. Like, no one could go in there because they were afraid of these asuras. So one time the coward boys were walking, Krishna, we want to go, we want to take these fruits. But Krishna went in there and he grabbed the whole of these asuras and twirled them. Danuka up in the tree. He was killed. He saved the cows and the cows from a forest fire when they, you know, there's that story they went wandering off. And what happened? How did he save them from the forest fire? All of a sudden it was a fire. The cows were wandering and they were encircled by the fire. And what did Krishna do? There's a picture. There was a picture somewhere. He inhaled and sucked up the fire. Whole fire. That's what we need in Australia, don't we? We have so many fires around, right? We need Krishna to come and suck it up. Because, you know, generally Vayu, the wind, he does the other. Instead of sucking it, he blows it out. The fire is fanned by the wind and blows everywhere. But Krishna actually sucked this fire up and saved the cows and the cowherds. And, of course, Kaliya serpent. Subdued Kaliya serpent. Kaliya was from the lower planets and he was very puffed up. He ate the offering of that was meant for, Garuda. Yeah, he ate the offering from Garuda. And then Garuda what happened? Garuda came to chastise him. But Tarana, in fear of Garuda, he went to that place in the Jamuna where that Sabari Muni was doing his meditation. But he poisoned all the fish there. And then Krishna one time jumped into the Jamuna and was dancing on his hoods, and he was subdued. He wasn't killed, but he was subdued. Now the gopis overcame all kinds of distress and experienced great happiness by seeing the Lord's face, which is always cheerful, with smiling glances, ever free of fatigue. It is said that under his full protection, the Yadu dynasty became extremely famous and attained wealth, glory, and power. What was it? So, one is under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What can he have? There's one saying, if God wants to give you with your hands, how much can you hold, actually? But if God wants to take away, even you have so many hands, how much can you hold on? Isn't it? So if God wants to give you, so the Yadus, they became very, very famous, still was chanting, Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Namaha, all the time chanting about the Yadus. Famous, wealthy, when they were in Dwarka, of course, we know in Mathura, when Jarasandha was attacking, and who was that other, Kalayavana, simultaneously Krishna decided to take them to all the citizens of Mathura. They went to bed one night, they woke up in Dwarka, right on the other side, India. And all in palaces, houses, great opulence, everything like that. So they became wealthy, they attained wealth, they attained glory, power, because they were under the protection of Krishna. No one could harm the Yadavas. When it was time for Krishna to wind up his pastimes in the world, he himself had to devise a plan how to take them from the world, because no one else could do anything to them. They were so invincible, being under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one is under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What harm can anyone do? That's like we saw Haridas Thakur under the protection of Lord Chaitanya. Even though he was beaten severely, he couldn't be killed actually. They couldn't kill him. They beat him to death, whip him to death in 22 marketplaces. Imagine. He didn't die. And those who were beating were, oh, if we don't kill you, we will be killed. So then, all right, I'll die then. He was so unattached, I'll die. But he went into Samadhi. And then he just, they floated in the river, and he floated, and he came up, and what's that place near Ranagat there? Where he had that cave there near Ranagat. He had one cave there. And he came up near Puliya. And he came up there in that same place where they took him initially, and you know, they took him all the way. Then they threw him in the Ganga, and he floated back down, and he's dead. And then he floated back, and then he just got out and walked out. Later on, he told Lord Chaitanya, when I was getting beaten, I couldn't feel anything. And I'm not affected in any way, my body is good. And Lord Chaitanya, he turned around and he said, that's because I took the beatings. And he turned around. He showed the beatings on his back. He said, I took the beatings. So if God wants to protect you, who can harm you? But on the other hand, if God wants to kill you, who's going to protect you? You think you can run away from God? But we shouldn't misunderstand the killing of God. God doesn't kill just anyone. The killing of God, these are all devotees playing, or demigods or something like some arrangement. They're playing the part of asuras, and they get the liberation, or they're just enacting some pastime. So if God wants to kill you, if God wants to protect you, no. So the people of Mathura were talking. They had the realization, oh, they must be expansions of Lord Narayan. They have come to this world. Krishna and Balaram. Of course, we know Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Sava Karana Kama. That actually Lord Narayana is the expansion of Krishna Balaram, original. But still, the residents of Mathura, they accepted, oh, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have come. All right. Does anyone have any question or comment? Yes.
When the Muslims, the agents of the Qazi were arguing over what to do with Haridas Thakur, they decided, let's bury him. And I said, no. Burying him is too good for him. We'll just throw him in the river.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Muslims generally bury, right?
Yeah, that's too good for him.
That's too good. We were not going to give him a Muslim burial. We'll just throw him in the river. That's all he deserves. But he was in the deep samadhi and he just floated in the river. Just came up again where he was picked up. Any other question? Yes?
I don't think before Krishna being accused of stealing the jewels because he saw
which jewel? The Shamataka jewel? He was accused of stealing the jewel because?
He was cursed because he'd seen the moon on the full moon.
Oh, you've read some story somewhere about like that. I haven't read that. But the in the Leela it is that he was accused of... Oh, well, he was accused because he actually told Satyajit that he should present this to Ugrasena, even though the sun god had given it to Satyajit. Krishna said, look, you should, the king, the emperor has to be presented all the best of everything. That is the right thing. That is our duty of the citizen. The best things in the kingdom should be presented to the emperor. You should do like that. So some people were talking, he said that, but actually he wanted it for himself. Some people were talking like that. So Krishna didn't like that type of talk. And he wanted to get that jewel back. And not only that, but they said, I'd kill Prasenna to get the jewel. He'd kill Prasenna. So I don't know, this other story you're saying, you must have read maybe somewhere, maybe one of the other Puranas mentioned it. Of course, Krishna getting cursed, who can curse Krishna actually? But sometimes someone may do like that and Krishna just, goes along with it as to enact some particular pastime or leela. But I haven't heard that story.
Did you guys have
reenactors
at the demon represent?
Oh, reenactors. These are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 21, is it 21 or something like that, asuras. Now, I don't know exactly, I can't remember off the top of my head all of them, but Putana represents what? The false guru. Yeah, right, because she presented herself as something, as a very cultured lady, but she was something else. Yeah, so, anyway, I don't know them all off by heart, none of you, so. But you can get that information. Sure, Chicharupa probably got it. You can get that off her. 21 demons represent different types of anartas that one has to overcome. Any other questions? All glories to Prabhupada, the key. Yeah.